Can y'all hear me? Yes, sir. I can hear me too now. Amen. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amongst the saints of God. Hallelujah. You know, as Minister Diane was exhorting on that, the passage came to my mind since we've been talking about grace. Amen. He encourages us to abound in the grace of giving also. Notice how he said grace of giving. And to abound means to what? Overflow, to increase in that grace. In other words, just don't do less, do more. Amen. And when you do that, guess what God does for us? Things that you know not of, things you can't even imagine, things you can't buy with money. Come on now. If we just trust him, amen. And he's proven it to, I know, in our lives over and over again. Amen. As we just trust him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for your goodness, for your grace, Lord, in all the areas, Lord, that you continue to operate in our lives, God. Lord, and we ask you right now, Lord, to continue to bring us closer to you. Give us a heart, a mind, a desire to want to know you more and more, God. Even as we talk about that abounding, let us abound in your word and in your will, in your ways, God, and everything we put our hands to do. Lord, and we ask you right now as we look into your word on this morning, God, that you would, Lord, just quicken our hearts, Lord, that we would hear what your spirit is saying unto the church, God, that, Lord, you would move every distraction out of the way, everything that would try to take our attention away, God, anything that we would choose to dismiss, let us hear it in our spirit, Lord, that we may walk thereby, that we may be strengthened and built up, Lord, that when things come our way henceforth, God, that we will be equipped and ready, Lord, to make a stand, Lord, according to your word and your will, Father. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for where you are in our lives, God. And we thank you, God, that you continue to draw us higher. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We thank God. Just another opportunity. Amen. We give bring greetings. We're back. Amen. We're here. You know, after all the planning and busyness and preparations and everything for our celebration, amen. And I can truly say it was a fun time. It was a great time, you know, reminiscing and the worship. I mean, our praise team, they was kicking. Yes, sir. Amen. They was getting it. Yeah, they was. Amen. A couple of times I said, we can just stay right here. right here, you know. You know, but in that's how it should be when the saints come together, yeah, all around. That the God's glory is even that much greater, yeah. Amen. When we come, so I really enjoyed the reminiscing, catching up, laughing, and you know, just getting back in, you know, up to speed with different ones. You know, it's just so fun and so good, and also very needful. You know, as we talk about, you know, as we move forward, you know, I can say I'm glad all that planning is over, all that's done. But as we move forward, we still got to align ourselves, amen, with the things of God. Amen. We you know, it's good to stop and reminisce and look back and do all those things. In fact, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, the Lord tells his people, build a memorial here. Amen. He gives them feasts and festivals, amen, to remember where he's brought them from and the things that he's done for them. Amen. And when your children will come across, you can ask you, what's this about? And you can tell them what the Lord did back then. You know, so it's the same for us today. It's good to pause and to see what God has done and what he's doing so we can, you know, sometimes we forget. That's why he has memorials for us to remember. Amen. And to celebrate those things in the, from the past. Amen. But guess what? There's more work to be done. You know, right? Amen. It's good to talk about the times of old. Amen. But now we got to, you know, set our hearts and our minds on moving ahead and going forward and doing more and more and more. Amen, because there's still souls to be saved, lives to be changed, amen, and people to be encouraged. And so we want to be able to operate in that realm, amen. As we celebrate the goodness of God, we're going to continue to celebrate his goodness, amen. So we thank him. You know, as we're looking today, you know, as we're preparing this weekend is what?
4th of July, Independence.
Your independence, 4th of July, amen. You know, Tuesday is got the 4th of July. What is that? Anybody know how many years it's been? You know, celebrating the birth of a nation. Some of the mathematicians are already at work. Hearing all kind of numbers. 1776 minus, let me help y'all out. 247 years. You had it, Crystal? Crystal had it. All right. 247 years, I mean, that'd be this nation's 247th birthday, you know, when you look at 1776, July 4th, amen, and not soon, it'll be 250 years. See, when you look at the big scale of things, this is a really young nation. And some people still call it what? An experiment. Right, when you look at nations over the years who had hundreds of thousands of years in existence, you know, but they look at the U.S. and it's, you know, all these people coming together and trying to do something, and sometimes the experiment looks pretty good. Right. Other times it looks like it's failing. Right. Uh-huh. Amen. And we're kind of in a place, you know, I was listening at the news, you know, a week or so ago, and they were talking about how that this nation has never been so divided. Right. You know, we can see division everywhere. Right. You know, so right now the experiment ain't working too well. And as we begin to look at it, you know, it's just so divided, and on the precipice or on the eve of our 247th birthday, we're not looking too good as a nation. Isn't that right? Amen. I mean, we've seen better days. Yes. Can anybody agree with me on that? Amen. Amen. So we look at it, and we could do better, you know. But as I was listening to that and thinking about it, I began to think, you know what? The only thing that's really going to bring people together, the only thing that can really save this nation from the condition that it's in, is the Holy Spirit. Yes. Is the Lord God Himself. Yes. You know, short of that, you know, we will continue to decline and divide and separate and do those things. So just tell somebody now, we got the best thing going. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because we got Him on our side. Amen. And we're putting our trust in Him. I'm saying that by faith, maybe for some of y'all, but it's by truth for me. I'm putting all my trust in Him. Amen. I'm believing in Him. Amen. Knowing that He's able to do all things but fail, because He constantly shows Himself over and over and over again. Amen. As I trust Him. Amen. In that. And you know what? When you do that, you realize that you can do this thing. Amen. Tell somebody next to you, you can do this. I'm going to add something to that. See, you can do this His way. Not your way. His way. See, when we do it His way, it works better than doing it my way. My way, amen, is not always the best way. I'm not the only one in the room. Amen. That's true for. Amen. But as we look at this, amen, we recognize that things could get better, but most likely they're not going to get much better, because the Lord is coming soon. Yeah, I believe that with all my heart. He's coming soon, amen. So we got to be ready. We got to be prepared, amen. You know, when you think about the 4th of July, what do you all think about?
Fireworks.
First thing I heard, fireworks.
Barbecue.
Okay. Fireworks and barbecue. How about some days, time off from work? Holidays. See, we think about those things. We like barbecue. Amen. We like time off. Amen. But then when you stop and think, the other one, fireworks, what is that? Man, after my own heart. Because I think we like fireworks, but, you know, and lots of people, you know, even I ride by, you know, the reservation, they got all them places set up for people to come and spend their money and buy them fireworks so they can take them home and put a match to them. Isn't that right? Now, how many things do you go buy, other than wood for your fireplace, let me say that, that you go buy, spend your good hard-earned money for, just to take it home and put a match to it? Would you buy a couch and do that? How about a TV? How about you just bring home, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of groceries and just throw some gas on them and burn them up? Would you do that? But see, when I put a match in my charcoal, I'm getting some benefit back because I'm barbecuing that. That's going to go in me and satisfy me and somebody else, hopefully. But there's very few things you just go buy just so you can burn it up. Let me tell you a secret. But that's getting you somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? The benefit. But once that thing goes pop, fizz, that's it. Done. The thrill is over. So let me give you a little secret. If you want to save some money, save some gas. Save the gas. Just take out the money and burn it. At least that way you ain't burning no gas. But if you're going to save some money, let me leave y'all alone because some of y'all like fireworks. I'm going to stop messing with y'all. But I just can't. It just never makes sense to me. I never have money to burn.
Amen.
Amen. Too many things I could do with it. Amen. Too many people could be helped with. Can you imagine? I don't know why I'm on. if we as a nation took all the money we spent on fireworks, we could feed another nation. Maybe two. We build some houses, help a lot of homeless people. But we let me stop. Just the thought. Get y'all thinking a little bit. Amen. Let's be wise stewards. Let me stop. I'm trying, but I got to get on. Amen. But we thank God for the fourth. Amen. And our independence and all those things that make it possible. Amen. That makes it possible that we can, be able to celebrate, and look. And, when I think about fireworks, amen, I had the thought, and then I'm going to get on with the message, but I had a thought that, we could use more fireworks. Those fireworks only last for so long, but I look in the scripture, he said that he will fill us with the Holy Ghost and fire. We need more of that firework operating in our life. Amen. That fire moving and causing things to happen and changing our lives and the lives of those around us. Amen. That's a whole other message. I'm not going to go there this morning because I promised y'all I would give you part three. Amen. A couple of weeks back, amen, as we were talking about grace by grace. Amen. So we're going to attempt to wrap that up today. Is that all right?
Grace by grace.
Amen. So, when you look at God's grace, it's an amazing thing. I feel like I could teach on it for on and on and on. Amen. The Lord just keeps revealing more and more things to me. Amen. As I dig into it. But this one nugget that we're going to lay out today, I think will kind of help us. Because, it's one thing, to have grace and to give grace and all those things. But I want us to get to a place where we have a whole new outlook and understanding, that we can see grace in a new and a living way.
All right.
Amen? So it's our goal, because grace is more than a principle. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. And it's one thing that we can't just conceptualize, make it a concept or, right. Just a thought or something that we toss around to justify our spirituality and all those things. There's more substance to it. Amen. There's more. Amen. We want it to become real and just not a word. Amen. We want it to become real and active in our lives. Amen. And as we do that, we need to understand what grace does in the life of the believer. Amen. So we're going to touch on some things. We got some journey to go on this morning. So I'm going to be moving kind of fast, so y'all get out your pen, your paper, your little tablet, whether your phone, whatever, because I want to cover some ground this morning.
Right.
Amen. So we can understand and see how grace moves and operates, and there's so many places in Scripture it talks about it. We get to the point that we read over the Word because we come so familiar with it that we don't see what it's really saying sometimes, right? I'm going to begin, amen, just some of the things that grace does for us. Let's look at Hebrews 4:16. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now see, just that in itself, the throne of grace. I want you to hold that thought. Amen. Underline that thought. The throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Grace is a helper. Amen. When you have a time of struggle and need, he said we will find grace to help. Amen. So that's one of the things that grace is. It's a helper. Amen. In a time of need, in a time of trouble, in a time of turmoil. Amen. When there's grace available, when there's grace on board, we got help available. We got grace and help on board. Amen. So that's one of the things. And, you know, because grace is also able to build us up and give us an inheritance. Look at Acts 20 and 32. Say, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, all right, and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Amen. So it will help build us up and give us an inheritance. See, in other words, without that grace, we can't get either one. Right? Because it's grace that allows us to receive his word, amen, and understand his word and apply his word. So grace, amen, it puts us in a position to go higher. It puts us in a position to be stronger. It puts us in a position, amen, to know that we in the will.
Right now, that's good.
That's what inheritance is, right? Inheritance is you in the will. Amen. And see, I could work on that one right there. Amen. Because you got to be in his will to get in his will. Did y'all get that? I said you got to be in his will to get in his will. I mean, it's like a child being rebellious and not doing what he's supposed to do or she's supposed to do. But she want to be in daddy's will. But dad cuts you out the will because you're not in.
Hallelujah.
Hello. So how many of us want to be in the will? See, to be in the will, you got to be in his will. All right? So, but grace helps us to do that, to take us to that place, amen. And then Romans 3 and 24 said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, grace is a justifier. Oh, wow. You mean when you couldn't do it on your own? You didn't have the strength, the understanding, the power, the ability. But grace, amen, comes by to justify you. Yeah. Amen. When you allow grace to operate in your life, amen, it takes us a place, amen, that all our wrongs, all our shortcomings, all those things can be justified by the presence of his grace in our lives. Amen. In other words, we're no longer guilty. Right? Hallelujah. Help us, Holy Spirit. And then you look at Titus 3 and 7, it says, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now that grace has justified us so that we can not just be heirs of what he has for us, but heirs of eternal life. Now see, and I look at that one. See, your daddy can put you in his will, but he can't put eternal life in his will. Amen. But see, when you get in God's will and he puts you in the will, in that will includes eternal life. Wow. So this grace is really important to understand how it can operate, amen. And then it takes us to a place in Romans 5:20 and 21. It says this, moreover, that the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound or increase, amen, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. Other words, what he's telling us, amen, is that although sin was holding us down and messing us up and stopping us, the grace of God, amen, came, amen, that we may be able to reign through the righteousness that comes by grace. We're going to see that. Amen. And that right, that puts into place, amen, that we can receive that eternal life. This grace is working all over the place. Amen. Well, when you stop and step back and you look at this whole thing, you know, maybe like Pastor Lynn said, go back and look at it again and again, all these three parts, and you'll see how grace has got us wrapped up, tied up, tangling up. Amen. All around us, amen. If we understand how big and how good it is, amen. And this next one I really like, amen. Romans 11, 5 through 7. I told you I got some travel because we got some places to go. Amen. Even so, then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Wow. The election of grace. In other words, grace chose you. You know, when we have an election, we trying to do what? We trying to choose a mayor or trying to choose a council member or trying to choose a president or whatever the case, you know, it's the choice. But and here he's talking about, you know, that remnant of the Jews that receive him, understand him. Amen. So when we look at this in Romans, he lets us know, amen, that their eyes were blinded so they couldn't see. Amen. But even then, he still has a remnant. God always got a remnant. You know, you ever go to the store and ask them, can I see your remnants? A material store, a craft store. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. See what they call, you know how they get what they call a boat of material. Y'all don't even know what that is. It's that thing that wraps the material around. And when it comes to the end of it to where it's not enough to sell, but it's enough to use if someone has a special purpose, they call that the remnant. That's what's left over. They get, he always a remnant. And he's saying, you know what, I can't use the Jews the way they're acting right now, but I got me a remnant. I got a certain number of them that's going to accept. You know, so they're elected by grace, but during that time, he also elected you and me. Because while their eyes are blinded, amen, we're being elected to be brought in, amen, until he opens their eyes to see, amen. So grace chooses you by election. You know how the scripture says, no man comes unto the Father except he draws them. In other words, he chooses you. Amen. And I thank God that he chose you and me. Amen. But we look at that, amen. He says, and if grace then is no more works, if by grace then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. In other words, you couldn't do it on your own. If you could, it wouldn't be grace. Right? He said, but if it be of works, then it is not no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it. The election. Who's that? That's them people I'm talking about. And the rest were blinded. That's why he said the rest were blinded, but the remnants could see. And that's why we get in there. Amen. Then we look down, we drop on down, amen, how it says it in the NIV, the same passage in the NIV. So too, it is present at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. There it is, chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. And I can't read that over and over enough. It's not your works. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough. Amen, because then it's all you, right? So it's not based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The election among them did, but the others were hardened. Now that's another way of looking at it. He didn't just blind their eyes. He hardened their hearts so they couldn't even accept the Messiah. Ain't you glad he didn't harden your heart? Amen. I think about another place in scripture where he hardened the heart when he was dealing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh would get tired of him. Go. And Moses, he's telling Moses, take the people and go. But then God would harden his heart. Amen. So it would cause him, no, I'm not going to let you go. See, it wasn't Pharaoh going back and forth. It was God using Pharaoh for his purposes. See, so God, the scripture says he's hardened who he will harden, and he'll soften who he'll soften. I thank God that he softened my heart one day. Amen, to receive his truth, to receive the gospel. How about you? Amen. Because it's so important that we get this and understand this. I'm going to read that passage one more time in the Amplified Bible. Amen. So, because again, I think it's important that we understand. Because sometimes we look at people and we think ourselves that they need to do this, this, and this to get saved. They need to do this, this, and this to get right. You know, all the doing ain't it. It's the understanding and receiving See, because you can be doing a whole lot of good stuff. And let me say this again. You could be, in man's eyes, crossing all the I's, or crossing all the I's, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and jotting the tittle. You can be doing all that and still not be receiving his grace. Still not really accepting who he is and what he wants to do in your life. So it's not by, you know how we say, you know, there's good people all around. Good people do a lot of things. I mean, people, who, you know, they bless and they give and they do all these things and they don't even acknowledge God. Their heart has been hardened in a way, man, that they don't even want to talk about God. But they're still good people doing good things. But that's not good enough. Amen? So we need him. But in this, he says, so too at the present time, there is a remnant, a small believing minority, selected, chosen by grace, by God's unmerited favor and graciousness. But if it is by grace, his unmerited favor and graciousness, it is no longer conditioned on works or anything men have done. Nothing. Now let me put a caveat here. That don't mean you can go do all kind of crazy stuff either. Because if you understand grace, if you understand love, it's going to change the way you look at things. It's going to change your conduct. Amen. I can say I love my wife, but go out and do all kind of crazy stuff with everybody else. That ain't showing no love. That ain't showing no appreciation. It's more than our words. Amen. It changes. Amen. It blocks out all that other stuff. So now we can line ourselves up with him and walk in his ways, amen. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. It would be meaningless. What then shall we conclude? Israel failed to obtain what it sought, God's favor by obedience to the law. Amen? You know, in a lot of places, the law is being put on us all over the place. But that's not going to get it. You know, that's why they call it, amen, legalism. Amen. And many churches you can go to, amen, there's a whole lot of legalism, you know. But legalism doesn't save anybody. Right. Amen. It just makes people feel good that they, you know, can try. Amen. And I'll say it again, try to live in a certain way, to meet the mark or the expectation of others. But grace empowers us to not have to try, amen, because why? It empowers. It imparts righteousness. And we'll see that. Amen. Because of his love, his grace operating in us brings about a change that when you allow him to be who he wants to be in your life, it becomes easier. Amen. Because we have a whole different perspective of everything, because we understand the greatest thing of all, and that's the love and the grace of God operating in our lives. Amen. So we have to look at that. He said, only the elect, those chosen few, obtained it, while the rest of them became callously indifferent, blinded, hardened, and made insensible to it. Wow. That sounds kind of hard, don't it? That's rough. And again, God had a purpose for allowing that to happen. Amen. And again, he's specifically in that place talking about, you know, making room for you and me. He's talking about, you know, those Jewish people, amen, that you know, they can't see the Messiah's here, even though they can. You know, we met one gentleman when we went over to Israel, amen, our tour guide. Very, very, oh my goodness, knowledgeable in the word. Could tell you all the history of all the places we went and scriptures that went with it and the whole history of those, but he still couldn't accept that Christ was our Savior. And he tried, I'll tell you. I mean, it just he couldn't see it. You're living in the promised land. Amen. Taking two people on tours in the promised land. Showing them all the history, and you know, but you still can't see that. You know, that's the only thing that made sense to me then is that's God doing that. Because if he just heard what he was saying, If he could just see what he's showing us, he would get it. But God is the one that has blinded them for a season, for a time. Yeah, amen. Yeah. To get it. And then we look at Romans 12, 6 through 9. It says, and having gifts differing, wow, according to the grace that is given us. Amen. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, oh, y'all didn't think that was going to be in there, did you?
Come on, Jesus.
Amen. Let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and, I mean, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, so even our gifts are according to God's grace. Amen. It dictates the gifts that are operating in our lives because, you know, God gives to each and every one of us what he will. I truly believe that God has gifted everybody. Amen. And he doesn't call you and put you in his kingdom and not gift you with a gift that you can bring to the body that he can work with all to strengthen and to build up each and every one of us. Amen. And grace is given to all of us. This grace that I'm talking about, amen, you might feel like, well, I got left out. No. No. It's been made available to all of us. Ephesians 4 and 7 says this, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of us. We got it. It's there. It's available. Amen. And then we look at in Ephesians 3. Verses 1 through 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. In other words, if you've heard, this grace has been given to me so that I could share it with you. Amen. So that you can receive this grace. Amen. And operate, not only receive it, but operate in this grace. He said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. God showed him what he wanted him to do and how he wanted him to function. Amen. So that we can be able to operate in this place. Amen. And I can't help but think about no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation or your station in life right now, grace is your answer. Amen. When you allow him to come and empower you through his grace. People, the world can be coming against you, but God's grace is greater than the world. Amen. If we just believe that, stand on that, hold on to that, amen, it helps us to get through all types of difficulties. Oh, I know it's helped me to get through some things. Amen. Just trusting him when I couldn't even trust me. Amen. But just in that, he said, all things work together for the good. Have you ever been in a situation and you, for the life of you, could not see good coming out of it? You couldn't understand how in the world can anybody get any good out of this? But then God showed up. Amen. And when you look back, amen, if nobody got nothing out of it but you, it was worth it. Amen. If it didn't do nothing but build you up and strengthen you, it was worth it. Help you to understand, but you knew that you didn't get through it by your own because going through it by yourself in your own mind, you was ready to give up. I was ready to give up. If you ever been ready to throw in the towel, let me see your hand. I'd say, hey, yes. You know, it's okay to feel like that as long as you don't do it. Just be real with yourself, but no, well, to whom shall we go? If I give up on this, and I already understand nothing great. There's nothing greater than this out there. I guess I just need to hang in there and ask him for what?
Grace.
Thank you. Y'all getting it. Y'all getting it. Amen. We beginning to understand what's happening here. Amen. Because grace, even in our speech, even our speech, the Bible tells us has to be seasoned with grace. Colossians 4 and 6, it says, let your speech be sometimes with grace. No, it says always in Colossians 4 and 6. Y'all got that passage? Colossians 4, 6. Oh, there we go. Say, let your speech be always with grace. Now, I'm not going to point nobody out. I just want to let that part sink in for a minute. Always with grace. Even when people are getting on your nerves. Even when you want to give them a piece of your mind. Huh? See, always with grace. We say seasoned with salt that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Lord, word my mouth. Right now, I need your grace because I feel like telling them something that wouldn't be very graceful. Right? So always grace helps us to know how to speak one to another. When that person, let me make it a little more personal. When that husband or wife,
make it plain.
Always with grace. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace. Give me grace. Give me grace. When that child is messed up and you about to tell them all. See, we raised 7. I know how that works. Grace. Let your words be full of grace. And let the rod of correction. Let me stop. But he said, your words seasoned with salt. You know, so grace is there to help us in so many different ways, amen, as we begin to see, amen. It helps us because, you know what, if you step outside of grace, you might blow it. I might blow it. Right? So we live, you know, I know we say we live by faith, but we better live in grace. Amen. We better stay there. Grace, amen, is a source of our everlasting consolation and a good hope. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. Oh, my. Starting at verse number 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle or our letter that we sent to you. Okay? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in what? Every good word and work. Exactly. Said by his everlasting consolation, amen, and his good hope came through grace. So it's there to comfort our hearts, amen. And it's there also to establish you in every good word and work. I think about the passage said, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Christ Jesus, right? Every good word and work. So what I do and what I say has to be through grace. Amen? And I ain't got no excuse outside of that. The only way I do something outside of that is I choose to step outside of his grace. Right now, I don't feel like being graceful to you. Right? I don't feel, you know, so we step outside of that grace in order to be, let me say it like this, to do you. Whether it's by word or action. You step out of the grace of God to do you. So when people say, I just want to do me, you ain't doing Christ. Right? Because usually that means that there's something I don't want to do, so I'm going to do me, because if I'm doing that, I can't be me, and if I'm being me, I'm not being him. So you better check yourself before what? Come on now, y'all know it, amen. Y'all know it. You better stay in the grace of God, because you have no filter. Your flesh has no governor. It will take you to places you don't want to go, and have you do things that you wish you didn't do, and say things you can't take back. So you better stay in the grace of God and say, Lord, you word my mouth, keep me near the cross. Lord, Don't let me mess up now. I've come too far. I don't know about, you know, everybody else, but I know I've come too far. Amen. To act out. Right? Because that's what we be doing, Christian. We talk about them kids is acting out. Them Christians is acting out. Just wanting to be them and do them. Amen. That's not Christ. That's not what he wants. Amen. He wants us, amen, to understand what this whole thing means. We need his grace established in our hearts, right? To get it really fully established, amen. And in Hebrews 13 and 8, it says this. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Y'all say, well, I ain't Jesus. Right? I heard y'all. Mm-hmm. He said, even forever. Be not carried, but he said, goes on to say, be not carried with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established, what? With grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that day that have been occupied there. He said, and meat really represents the things of this world. He said, let your heart be established. Now see, only you can answer how well your heart is established in God's grace. Amen. And that's going to show up, if you don't know, it's going to show up when the pressure is on. How established are you? Amen. How established is your heart in that grace of God? Amen. And this next one, amen, is one that we really need at those times when we want to just be us and we want to just do our thing. Amen. And we just want to show out because I'm mad. And I got a right to be mad. Anybody ever been there? Come on. Because what they did or what they said or how I feel, I got a right. Don't tell me not to be mad. The Bible tell me be angry and sin not. So I'm going to take advantage.
Come on, Pastor David, preach.
Come on now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I'm going to take advantage of that scripture. But when you do it crazy, you still sinning. So you setting your parameters, but the word of God, it's got a whole nother degree. Amen. So we need to humble ourselves, right? Now, how many of us in here can really honestly, don't raise your hand, honestly recognize that we can use more humility in situations and circumstances? You know who you am. All right? I said it like that on purpose, okay? But James 4:4 says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Don't say ouch. Just hold yourself. Amen. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See. Y'all quiet now. He said, where are you going with this? Watch out now. He says this. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? What? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. See, so, but he said, well, what do you mean? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. The spirit that dwelleth in you and me, amen, wants you and me. Talking about the spirit of God. And it desires our attention, our love, our embrace, our acceptance so much that when you choose to do something else, that spirit becomes envious because the spirit of God wants you. And he don't want you putting nothing else ahead of him. So he's envious of your love. He's envious of your attention. He's envious of your desire. When your desire is someone else, somewhere else, that spirit is, oh, I just wish they loved me like that. I wish they put me first like that. I wish they would spend time with me like that. He just, because why? He loves us that much.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we put him on the, that's why he said, submit yourselves to God. Because he resists the proud, you know, those that just, well, I don't even got to go there. Yeah, but he gives grace to the humble. When we humble ourselves, he gives us the grace. Amen. We got grace to be able to do what we need to do and be who we need to be. Amen. And as we do this, as we allow all this grace to do all these things in us, it causes us to grow, and it causes the grace in us to grow in us. Amen. So now you become more and more able, amen, to do all these things, amen, not by your power, but you've learned how to surrender. You've learned how to yield. You've learned how to submit, amen, unto God's will and his grace in your life. In 2 Peter 3:15, it says this, and according that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, he's talking about that grace. He said, in which are some things hard to be understood, you know, again, because that's a lot of words. I can't really get it all, but he's breaking it down for us right here. Which they that are unlearned and stable, wrestle. In other words, you're struggling with, what are you talking about, Paul? I just don't get it. As they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Say, Pastor David, you just lost me. No, he's comparing, amen, us to those in the world. And he's saying, amen, they couldn't understand because they weren't diligent in hearing what he's saying. And therefore they fall to their own way because it seems that this is too hard. It just it takes too much. But he said, no, it doesn't take too much. Just tell somebody to keep it simple. See, because, you know, he said he made it, available unto babes. But sometimes we dig and we get into conversations and we get into things that we get confused on our own. He said, keep it simple. It's by God's grace I live this life. It's by God's grace I understand these things. He said, what? Being led away with the error of the wicked and they fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, you were trying to hold on. But somebody came along, amen, with their convoluted conversation and began to tell you, well, it don't take all that. Amen. All you got to do is this, and that's okay, and this is okay. And next thing you know, you were steadfast. Amen. But they somehow, because you didn't yield yourself to grace, they somehow begin to cause you to say, you know what? It might not take all that. You know what? You know, I think they're right. They doing that, and they seem to be all right. So instead of staying steadfast and not going down that road because it seems okay, amen, you turn and you go and anything. But the 18th verse says this. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He said, just keep growing in grace. Don't be persuaded by somebody that tells you differently, that comes up with another doctrine, another understanding. You just grow in the grace of God. Keep it simple. I know where he brought me from. I know if it had not been for the Lord in that, I wouldn't be here today, and I'm not going to change my focus now. It took that to get me here, and guess what? In the words of Pastor Joseph Garlington, I'm going to dance with the one that brung me.
Hallelujah!
All right, I'm not going to switch partners now. Amen. He got me this far.
Hallelujah.
I'm not, no, she might look good, but no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in that head. You know, I don't know where that's trying to take me, but I know where he brought me from, and I know where I'm standing, and I'm going to stay right here. You might not understand. It might not look glorious right now, amen, but guess what? I'm not where I used to be. Amen, and I ain't going to mess it up now. I'm going to keep on holding on. I'm going to keep on trusting. Things might be falling down around me. Amen. They might be talking about me like a dog, but I'm going to stand in my faithfulness. And I'm going to continue to grow in the grace of God. I'm not who I used to be. I've grown up some. I got some understanding. He delivered me from some things. And I'm going to hold on to it right here. That's what we got to make up our mind. That grace, I tell you what, you can't do it without it.
That's right.
Amen. But you can do a whole lot with it.
Yeah.
If you just allow it to operate in us. So now we come to a place that I want to show you something about grace. That I done read and read and read and read over and over. And when I came across this that I've read and read, I was like, what you say? You say.
All right.
It's an amazing how God just keeps unfolding and revealing. And I said all that to get to this.
Okay.
All that grace to get to this. Amen. And then I want to share, you know, this with you. And I want you to pay attention. Because we touched on a passage in part one. And it was part two. And I paused and I said, no, it's not time yet. You know, so I continued to move on. But now is the time. Amen. I don't know if you caught it then, but I know when I get through, you're going to catch it now. Amen. Because I'm going to help make sure it's clear. Amen. See, let's go to Zechariah. You know, when God was talking about his people in Romans and all these things, everything, I love how the Bible just comes together. But in the book of Zechariah, 12th chapter and 10th verse, he says this, I will pour upon the house of David, talking about the children of Israel, and upon the inheritance of Jerusalem, the inhabitants, I'm sorry, what did I say? Inheritance, okay. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Did you get it? Did y'all catch it? That's the second time I read that scripture in y'all hearing, and y'all didn't catch it. But the first thing we're going to look at, let's look at it. He said, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And now I think about how he told them, amen, in the book of Acts and in the book of Joel, amen, and it was repeated in Acts 2 and 17, but Joel 2 and 20 says that in those days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall, you know. And he went on and he talked about that pouring out of his spirit on all flesh. Amen. And then I looked at that and I began to say, wait a minute, what are you saying, Lord? Zechariah prophesied what God was going to do, that he would pour out the spirit of grace and of supplication. Let me say that again, the spirit of grace and of supplication. He's prophesying and he's telling them that these things are going to come. Amen. And then we see it on the day of Pentecost, the first day of the New Testament church. He pours out his spirit, amen, upon all flesh. Amen. Because there was men from all nations there and they begin to see this thing. But it gets a little deeper. In Romans 8 and 26, he says, look at that passage with me, 8:26 and 27. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'm dealing with that spirit of supplication right now. He said, we don't pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, if y'all noticed, the three times he mentions Spirit in that passage, it's capitalized. What does that mean? Anytime you come across it and you look at it, and I look at the original language, that's talking about the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is what? The Holy Spirit of God. So he's saying the Holy Spirit, amen, is praying for you, interceding for. That's that spirit of supplication that Zechariah spoke of, amen, back in the second chapter, amen, of Zechariah, I mean the 12th chapter of Zechariah. He said the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of intercession, right? So we see that spirit of intercession, amen, that talked about here in Romans. And we recognize it's capitalized, amen. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit, amen, which is, I don't even use the word, but the Holy Spirit is the presence of God, the person of God, right? So we see that. And then we drop down to verse 34 in that same chapter, 8th chapter of Romans. He said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Think about that. It's Christ. He identifies. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for. Now, wait a minute. We just said the Holy Spirit is making intercession.
Right.
Now, drop down a few verses. Christ is making intercession. Okay, y'all getting it yet? Huh? So we see, amen, who's praying for us, amen, at the throne, amen. When you mess up, you know how the scripture tells us, amen, that we have an advocate?
Yes.
Amen, that's Christ the Lord, amen. He's advocating for you and for me. So when I mess up, when you mess up, he's praying for us, amen, and he's at the throne praying and lifting you and me up before God, amen, and praying that we get it. Oh, my goodness. So we see Christ and the Holy Spirit, one and the same, making intercession for you and me. Now, let's look here a little bit deeper. Amen, because we're looking at this intercession in Hebrews 7, verse 22 to 25. But so much as Christ made a... I want us to really pay attention. He was made a surety of a better testament. What's a surety? It's a promise. It's kind of like an earnest. It's kind of like putting money down on the house before you close on the house. Amen. It guarantees it. It holds it for you. He's made a surety of a better testament. And it says, and they truly were many. There truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So all the priests before, they couldn't continue to intercede for us. No matter how many sacrifices they did, no matter how many times they went to the altar, amen, no matter how time it was their turn to go, you know, in lots and pray for the children of Israel, they couldn't continue because they all died. That's what he's talking about here. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, where therefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession. Wow. He ever liveth. Ever. In other words, he ain't going to stop. He ain't going to die. He's going to be praying for you, Juan, until we get there. He's going to be praying for me until we get there. He's going to be interceding. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's Christ the Lord. Amen. Our intercessor. Amen. We see operating in that spirit of, what we call it? Supplication. Amen. Now, we see that, and I'm almost done. I'm about to wrap this up. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And y'all going to see it. Amen. Hebrews 10, starting at verse number 26, he says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." I believe we broke the law of Moses, verse number 29. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, should he be worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God?" Now, see, if they killed you for disobeying Moses, he said, how much worse could it be? Now, I'm not, don't, just stick with me. Don't get lost. He said, how much worse could it be for those who trodden Christ underfoot, right? "And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace." Watch this. Take a look at that word spirit. Oh, he don't have it up there. Y'all don't have that verse up there? Come on, help me now. I like people to see it. What's happening? How come it's off over there? He said, "Has done despot unto the Spirit of grace." But if you look at that word spirit, just like we looked at before, it's capitalized. Yeah. That's, you know, I seen that and say, wait a minute, hold it. Now, I know when Zechariah prophesied about the Spirit of grace and intercession, okay, it was a small s because he's talking future tense. He's talking about what's to come. But we get over here, and he's talking about those who do wrong, amen, and do despot. And I'm going to break that word for you in a minute. Amen. Despite, amen, the Spirit of grace. Capital. In other words, he's talking about grace is a spirit. And if it's the same spirit in the original language that identifies the Holy Spirit, the same capitalized that spirit that identifies Christ, and the same word that identifies God, and now he's taking that spirit and attached it to grace. Y'all don't get it.
Yes, sir.
Now you get it. He is the Spirit of grace. It's just not a word. It's just not a concept. He is. When Christ is moving, when the Holy Spirit is moving, he is the Spirit of grace operating in our lives, amen, to help us to do all these things. So it's not a concept. It's not just a practice, amen. It's him. Thank you. It's God himself operating in our realm, operating in us and through us. Amen. That's why he talks about grace so much. You know how, you know, sometimes we're in a conversation. I know John did it a lot in the book of John. He talked about himself in the third person. See, so when God is talking about this grace, he's really talking about himself. His own spirit giving you grace. His own spirit giving you help. His own spirit growing you up. His own. Oh, my goodness. You know, and I look at this. Now, that word despite, amen, we look at it. Now, we're looking at scripture that was written many, many years ago, thousands of years, 2,000 years. But we look here, and we look at that word despite, you know, and we see it in the modern context. You know, he did this despite the Spirit of grace. But that's not what the scripture says. He said he did it, is done despite unto. Now that don't make no sense in good English. Now if I love you despite what you've done to me. You know, in other words, in that context, amen, when we use the word despite in modern English, it's a preposition to dismiss what was done in order to accept what's coming. Okay, despite all they did, he still loved them. You know, it dismissed all that to say, I still love them. But see, I don't say despite all they did unto them, I still. But see, so why is it worded like that? Now, when you look at the word as a noun, not a preposition, amen, it's a feeling or attitude of despising someone or something. So when it says it done despite unto the Spirit of grace, in other words, they despised the Spirit of grace. And in the old archaic tense, amen, the word means to have contempt unto the Spirit of grace. So when he's talking about that, that's contempt unto the Spirit, capital S, of God, which means we have contempt unto God when we misuse God's grace. Oh, let me read it to you with how Matthew Henry put it in his commentary from here, because I want us to understand this grace is a spirit, and it is the Spirit of God that wants to operate in our lives. But we understand this. He said in Matthew Henry's commentary, he says this: how dreadful is the case when not only the justice of God, now here, because justice demands what? Payment. Justice demands, you know, but it goes on to say, but his abused grace and mercy call for vengeance. Woo. But the thing I love about this, it's his calling for vengeance. It's calling for punishment. It's calling, you know, that we pay for what we've done. But on the flip side, when you look at it, it's still grace. He said, even though you did this, even though you messed up, even though your actions despise who I am, I still want to give you grace. I still want to give you opportunity. I still want to help you turn it around so that my vengeance can be satisfied not by your punishment, because your actions have already been satisfied by the cross. So all you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is recognize that I'm pouring out my Spirit, which is grace. I'm pouring it out over you, on you, around you, through you, amen, so that I can rescue you, amen, from yourself, amen. But I want you to recognize my grace is just that great. Yes. Because without God, there is no grace. Right. You know, it reminds me how the scriptures say, God is love. Uh-huh. He don't just do love. And when I read that, I was like, that just hit my mind. He said, the Spirit of grace. God doesn't just give grace. He is grace. Yeah. And we got that grace available to us 24/7, 365 days a year. Amen. And I recommend, amen, that we use that grace every day we wake up. Every encounter that we have. Every situation that comes to try to cause you to stumble, amen, trip and fall, if you got the Holy Spirit on board, you got the Spirit of grace on board. So therefore, when we learn how to yield to him, we are a people without excuse. Amen. That I, you know, when we, there ain't no I can't help it, because grace is on board. When we say grace is what? A helper. So when you can't help it, he can. Amen. When you can't handle it, he can. Yeah. When you feel prideful, he is the Spirit that brings humility. All those things work together with all, amen, for the building up, amen, of the children of God. So that we are without excuse. We are, above all people, able Say, you know how the scripture says, and I'm stopping y'all stand. But he said how the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That Christ he's talking about is the Spirit of grace that wants to operate in us, wants to build us and help us and strengthen us, deliver us and free us from ourselves. See, the devil ain't your biggest problem. Huh? The world is not your biggest problem. I've said this before. You, your flesh, is your biggest problem. And if you can't handle it, guess what? God can.
Thank you, Lord.
If you can't control it, God can.
Yes, he
can. You can't tame it, that tongue. What do you say? Seasoned with grace. God can. If we just yield to him in every area, amen, God can. That's why the scripture says, I can do all things because I believe. No. He says, I can do it through Christ, who is the Spirit of grace. I can do it. So when your flesh is telling you this and that, and you find yourself wrestling and struggling, say, hold it. I got grace on board.
Thank you, God.
I got grace on board. He graces me to be able to do what I need to do. So if you're here this morning and you have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, or maybe you need to recommit yourself, I invite you to come. That Spirit of grace is calling you. Hallelujah. It's choosing you. Amen. To live for him. To love him. To be the example that he wants you to be. God is good. And he knows where each one of us stand. Amen. So if you're struggling in any other area and you want prayer, I invite you to come. That grace that God has given us, that Spirit of grace. You know, it gives us strength that sometimes we don't realize we have. And that's why I feel like this message, amen, is so important that we understand. It's just not a concept, Lord, I need grace. No, he is grace. When we understand the power that comes from recognizing who he is and what he does, oh my God, it gives me more strength. How about you? It gives me more determination, amen, to not ignore him. Well, you know, let's be real. None of us like to be ignored when we're trying to communicate to somebody. And he said, hear me. My Spirit of grace is upon you. My Spirit of grace abides with you. My Spirit of grace strengthens you wherever you need it. You know, even as Kathy Ann was talking about this song, I need you now. I want to be like you. I want to be with you. Whatever it was, he said, it's all in his Spirit. You know, with that grace, we can, as the scripture said, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We can cast them down. Just bow our heads as we pray for those that have come. Father, in the name of Jesus, these are your people, your children. And you know exactly, not guessing, not presuming, God, you know exactly where the areas are in our lives, God, that we struggle. You know the things that the enemy has told us that we've accepted. You know the things that we've told ourselves that we have used to protect ourselves. Those places that we've made determinations, or I might say vows, that it won't happen again. But your grace is different. Your grace is that we can do it. And if it comes, you can handle it. And I don't know why I'm feeling this, but he's saying, drop your vow. Erase your line in the sand and allow his grace to be your guide. Allow his grace to be your helper and your strength. Recognize that you can't do it on your own. Your way is not working. That's why I believe he had me say earlier this morning, you can do this his way, not your way. Drop your defenses. Hallelujah. Let the wall down and let grace in. He said, let the wall down. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your will be done. I pray over your people, God, that they would hear and they would receive what's exactly for them, God, that henceforth they wouldn't hold on to anything that would hinder your grace from operating in their lives. No more me, no more I, but it's all you, God. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I can't do it, Lord, but you can. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we say, move us out the way that your glory can be revealed. In every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is saying somebody's been on guard, living on guard. Got a wall, a hedge, and not just one. You just said, not just, we got a wall, like, so far, no closer. I ain't gonna let you get no closer. He's saying, drop the wall. You can't keep him out. But when you try to keep others out, you are blocking his blessings. Surrender. Yield to God. You'll be amazed at what he can do with a fully surrendered spirit. And that's just not for those that's standing up here. Drop your guard. Bible says, cast all your cares on him. The spirit of grace sees you, knows right where you are. And he won't let you down. I said he won't let you down. I was looking at a passage on last night. He said that he will not allow his children to be embarrassed. Or the word is put to shame. He will not. He repeated it twice. He will not let you be put to shame. In other words, when I read that, I hear God saying, I got you. Hallelujah. I got you, but you got to let him have it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your love, God, your overwhelming love and your grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because you care for us so much, so deeply. Hallelujah, that you come to rescue us from ourselves, Lord. Hallelujah, we give you praise right now, Lord, because I don't have to do it on my own. I don't have to try and do it by myself. But God, if I just let you have your way, Lord, you order my steps. You direct my course. You word my mouth. Hallelujah, you be my vindicator. I don't have to do it for myself. I just trust you. I believe you, God, and I'll stand where you say stand. I'll go where you say go. I'll do what you say do. Get me out of the way. Not my will. Not my will. But yours be done. And Father, we thank you. We thank you because you love us enough, Lord, to continue to gather us to yourself. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank I'm going to give him some praise in here.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Not alone.
Thank you, God.
And finally, I'm going to say, if anybody here, you don't have a church home and you want to be a part of Living Faith, we invite you to come, get connected. Amen. Because truly, we want to grow together. We want to flourish. We want to become who God wants us to become. We plant. Amen. If not, I'm going to get out the way and turn it over to